Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Naram Chaiva
Narottamam. Devim Sarasatim Vyasam. Tato Jaya Mudiraye. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter number 3, text number 17. Madrik prapana pashupa, madrik prapana pashupa shavi mokshanaya. Muktaya bhuri karunaya namolayaya. Swangshena sarva tanu brin manasi pratita. Pratyag drishe bhagavate brihate namaste. Madrik prapanna pashupasha vimokshanaya. Muktaya puri karunaya namolayaya. Samshena sarva tanu brin manasi pratita. Pratyag drishe bhagavate brihate namaste. Madrik prapanna pashupasha vimokshanaya. Muktaya bhuri karunaya tamolayaya. Sangshena sarva tanu brin manasi pratita. Pratyag drishe bhagavate brihate. Vaishnavis, madrik prapana pashupasha vimokshanaya. Muktaya puri karunaya namolayaya. Sangshena sarva tanu brin manasi pratita. Pratyag drishe bhagavate brihate namaste. Igor. Madrik prapanna pashupasha vimokshanaya. Muktaya bhuri karunyaya namolayaya. Sangshena sarva tanu brin manasi pratita. Pratyag drishe bhagavate brihate namaste. Madrik, like me. Prapanna, surrendered. Pashu, an animal. Pasha, from entanglement. Vimokshanaya, unto he who releases. Muktaya, unto the Supreme, who is untouched by the contamination of material nature. Puri karunaya, who are unlimitedly merciful. Namaha, I offer my respectful obeisances. Alayaya, who are never inattentive or idle, for the purpose of my deliverance. Swa-angshena. By your partial feature as Paramatma. Sarva of all. Tanubrit. The living entities embodied in material nature. Manasi. In the mind. Pratita. Who are acknowledged. Pratyagdrishe. As the direct observer of all activities. Bhagavate, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brihate, who are unlimited. Namaha, I offer my respectful obeisances. Te, unto you. Translation. Since an animal such as I has surrendered unto you, who are supremely liberated, certainly you will release me from this dangerous position. Indeed, being extremely merciful, you incessantly try to deliver me. By your partial feature of as Paramatma, you are situated in the hearts of all embodied beings. You are celebrated as direct transcendental knowledge, and you are unlimited. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Would you like to repeat? No. Yes? Okay. Since an animal such as I has surrendered unto you, who are supremely liberated, certainly you will release me from this dangerous position. Indeed, being extremely merciful, you incessantly try to deliver me. By your partial feature as Paramatma, you are situated in the hearts of all embodied beings. You are celebrated as direct transcendental knowledge, and you are unlimited. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. The words Brihate Namaste have been explained by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Brihate Sri Krishnaya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna. There are many tattvas, such as Vishnu tattva, Jiva tattva, and Shakti tattva. But above everything is the Vishnu tattva, which is all-pervading. This all-pervading feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is explained in Bhagavad Gita 4:2, wherein the Lord says, Atava bahunaitena kimyatena tavarjuna vishtabhyaham idam kritsnam ekam shena stato jagat. But what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. Thus Krishna says that the entire material world is maintained by his partial representation as Paramatma. The Lord enters every universe as Garbhadakshay Vishnu and then expands himself as Shiradakshay Vishnu to enter the hearts of all living entities and even enter the atoms. Andantarasta Paramanu Chayantarasta. Every universe is full of atoms, and the Lord is not only within the universe, but also within the atoms. Thus, within every atom, the Supreme Lord exists in his Vishnu feature as Paramatma. But all the Vishnu tattvas emanate from Krishna. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 10:2, Aham Adir Hidevanam. Krishna is the Adi, or beginning, of the devas of this, Krishna is the Adi, or beginning, of the devas of this material world, Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara. Therefore, he is described here as Bhagavate Brihate. Everyone is Bhagavan, everyone possesses opulence, but Krishna is Brihan Bhagavan. What's Krishna? Brihan Bhagavan, the possessor of unlimited opulence. Ishvara Parama Krishna. Krishna is the origin of everyone. Aham Sarvasya Prabhavaha. Even Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara come from Krishna. Mata Partanam Nanya Kinchidasti Dhananjaya. There is no personality superior to Krishna. Therefore, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that Bhagavate Brihate means unto Sri Krishna. In this material world, everyone is a pashu, an animal, because of the bodily conception of life. Yasya mabudhi kunapetridatuke sati kalatradi shubhauma ichati yatirta buddhi salilena karichich janishu abikeshu saeva gokaraha. A human being who identifies the body made of three elements as the self, who considers the byproducts of the body to be his kinsmen, who considers the land of his birth to be worshipable, and who goes to a place of pilgrimage simply to bathe, rather than to meet men of transcendental knowledge there, is to be considered like a cow or an ass. Bhagavatam 10.84.13. Practically, everyone, therefore, is a pashu, an animal, and everyone is attacked by the crocodile of material existence. Not only the king of the elephants, but every one of us is being attacked by the crocodile and is suffering the consequences. Only Krishna can deliver us from this material existence. Indeed, he is always trying to deliver us. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridaye sharatuna tishtati. He is within our hearts and is not at all inattentive. His only aim is to deliver us from material life. It is not that he becomes attentive to us only when we offer prayers to him. Even before we offer our prayers, he incessantly tries to deliver us. He is never lazy in regard to our deliverance. Therefore, this verse says, Puri Karunaya Namo Layaya. It is the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord that he always tries to bring us back home, back to Godhead. God is liberated, and he tries to make us liberated, but although he is constantly trying, we refuse to accept his instructions. Sarva dharmam parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja. Nonetheless, he has not become angry. Therefore, he is described here as Buddhi Karunaya, unlimitedly merciful in delivering us from the miserable material condition of life and taking us back home, back to Godhead. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Nina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadahmayam Tadati Swapadandikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupa Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Bitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama Rama, Hare Hare Madrik Prapana Pashupasha Bimokshanaya Muktaya Bhuri Karunaya Namolayaya Sangshena sarva tanu brinmanasi pratita. Pratyag drishe bhagavate brihate namaste. Since an animal such as I has surrendered unto you, who are supremely liberated, certainly you will release me from this dangerous position. Indeed, being extremely merciful, you incessantly try to deliver me. By your partial feature as Paramatma, you are situated in the hearts of all embodied beings. You are celebrated as direct transcendental knowledge, and you are unlimited. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Pratyagdrishe bhagavate brihate namaste. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur picks out these words, brihate Krishna, Shri Krishnaya, the Supreme Personality of God, it is Krishna. As there are many tattvas, but Krishna is the source of all other tattvas. And this verse, Atava Bahunaitena Kimdyatena Tavarjuna Vishtabhyaham Idam Kritsnam Ekam Shenas Chitojagat, is a verse that is Prabhupada quotes from the commentary of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, which Krishna is particularly pointing out that he's expanded himself throughout the cosmic manifestation. He's present everywhere at all times. And then Prabhupada again quotes, Ekopya Saura Charitum Jagaranda Kotim Yat Shakti Rasti Jagaranda Chaya Yaranta Andanta Rasta Paramanu Chayanta Rastam Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Pajami. That the Supreme Lord has expanded himself into everyone's heart, into every particle in the universe. Andantarasta Paramanu. Even Paramanu, even within the tiny particles of the universe, he's entered. And of course, he's unlimitedly dimensional because he can be present everywhere at all times. And he's fully conscious of the activities of every living entity. As he says in Bhagavad Gita, Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjuna bhavishyani chabhutani mam tu vedana kashchana. I know everything. I know a lot of people who tell me that. We meet them on Sankirtan and say, I know everything. But I'm a little doubtful when they say that. But when Krishna says it, due to the acharyas pointing out that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it gives me pause to think about how it is that someone who knows everything is there within my heart and all around me at all times. And the mood of this verse is very sweet because it's pointing out that Krishna's purpose in expanding himself into the material world is to deliver the living entities from material existence, sometimes called the Srishti Lila. This whole cosmic manifestation is coming from the breathing of God. As he exhales, Yashaika Nishwasitika Lamatavalam Yachivanti Loma Vilaja Jagadandanata Vishnur Mahansahi Yashakala Vishesha Govindamadi Purusham Maham Bhajami. Then the entire cosmic manifestation is manifested, and there's a sequence of activities, sequence of events, which include the Lord entering within every universe and then within every atom in the hearts of all living entities, Ashir Dakshai Vishnu. And when he inhales, everything's wound up again. Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, mentions this process also. Asau Gunamayar Bhavir Bhuta Sukshmindriyatabi Swam Svanirviteshu nirvishto punkte bhuteshu tad gunan. That along with the creation, the Lord enters into it and he enters within the hearts of the living entities just to facilitate their desires. The living entity needs direction in order to enjoy the material world. And Krishna has given that option because he doesn't interfere with the independence of the living entity. Therefore, he creates a situation in which one can either attempt to enjoy the material nature, and for that purpose, he gives full facility, including providing intelligence how to try to enjoy the material nature. On the other side, and this comes up in the discussion in the prayers personified Vedas, there's a way in which there's a dual purpose to the material world. One is to try to enjoy, and the other is to become liberated. Of course, Krishna's desire is that the living entities come back to the spiritual world and give up the hopeless attempt to try to enjoy the material nature. But nonetheless, he gives facility and he doesn't interfere. Samaham sarvabhuteshu nami dveshos dinapriya. Samoham sarvabhuteshu nami dvesho stina. Stina. What is it? Samoham sarvabhuteshu nami dvesho stina. Napriya. Next slide. Ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya mai te teshu chapyaham. There's this verse in the Gita, 9th chapter, points out that Krishna stays neutral. He gives opportunity for everyone to try their best to enjoy the material nature. But if one turns one's attention towards Krishna, he says, they're in me and they're mine, and I reciprocate with them in kind as they surrender to me, as they turn their attention to me. So I've always been struck by this prayer by Gajendra for a couple of reasons, and I'll tell you what they are right now. One of them is the idea of him having a crocodile on his leg. And Prabhupada points out that everyone's in this same situation. The imagery of a crocodile on one's leg just seems so bizarre. But these kinds of things happen in the material world just when you think everything's going to turn out all right. And forget for a second that you're not the supreme enjoyer. Well, you never do, but I do. And then suddenly a crocodile attaches itself to your leg, and then you have to deal with it. Eventually everyone has to deal with that situation. And then we see that in this pastime of Gajendra, Gajendra turns to prayer. Of course, in the beginning, he's not even sure who he's praying to. But in his last life, he was Indradumna Maharaj. He offended a sage. Practically all the events of the Bhagavatam are moved along. In fact, I could probably say all of them are moved on by curses by sages. So this one too. And Indradumna Maharaj was cursed by a sage. Because he didn't treat the sage properly, and the sage cursed him and said, you're so uncaring, you should become like a dumb elephant in your next life. And he did. But he, in this juncture, when he was in great distress with a crocodile on his leg, remembered prayers that he sang in his last life. He diligently repeated prayers, just like all of you were repeating the Brahma Samhita earlier. Prabhupada mentions that this is an intelligent thing to do in this life, to practice reciting some Vedic hymns. Especially he mentions the Brahma Samhita or the Nisringa Stotram and so forth. Because he said, if any of my disciples somehow or other become animals in their next life, by dint of their practicing in the previous life these prayers, they'll, just like Gajendra, remember them and be able to utilized them. And Gajendra remembered them, and he called out to the Lord. And at first, the demigods heard the vibration, and then they realized that it wasn't for them. It was actually for the Supreme. And the Lord heard the prayers of Gajendra and came to deliver him. But Gajendra at first wasn't aware of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was just aware of his intense need to cry out to the Lord. This is one aspect of this pastime that I always find important. And that is, I may not be articulate, I may not know everything about tattva, but if I'm utterly sincere in calling out to the Lord, there will be a response. Krishna responds to the living entity's need and the intensity of his desire. In fact, the whole process of bhakti is based on this intensity of one's desire. This word sincerity comes into play. Just an unmotivated request to the Lord to please engage me in your service goes a long way. And this is the most important of all substances that one can procure here in this world, is a little bit of sincerity. And where do you get it? Where do you get that substance? You can try to get it in Chandishok. If you go to Delhi and you go to Gulab Singh, who sells rare oils for $20,000, you can buy a little tola, a very special musk. He has it in the back, locked in a safe. But if you go in there and you ask him for a drop of sincerity, he'll tell you, go find it somewhere else. And oftentimes I think about that chanting japa. Where is it? Where is that one drop? And it's just amazing if one could find even a trace of that drop, that one could chant with some sincerity, a purpose like Gajendra has in this section of the Bhagavatam. Then it becomes effective. The Lord hears it right away. Of course, he's listening all the time, but he wants to know the quality of one's heart as one's saying it. This comes out in Queen Kunti's prayers also, where she says that Janma Aishvara Shuta Shibir Edamana Mada Puman Naivarhat Yabida Tumbai Tomakinchana Gocharam. That if one is intoxicated by thinking that I'm something, there's a lot of ways to think I'm something, like Janma Aishvarya, the place where I'm born, the type of birth I took, the amount of knowledge I have, beauty. Of course, even somebody who's not beautiful can then think, I'm so beautiful. They can look in the mirror and think, I'm so beautiful. Everyone's looking like, why are you looking in the mirror? You're not very beautiful at all. But due to false ego, I'm convinced that... But Prabhupada pointed out once that a jackass sometimes sings. Have you ever heard a jackass sing? Please tell me. Have you ever heard? Who? You've heard a jackass sing? Okay. One person in this whole room has heard a jackass sing. And Prabhupada said the jackass thinks it's very beautiful. I'm making such melodious music. But everyone else thinks it sounds torturous. I mean, nothing against jackasses. I know at Eco Village they're taken care of because Maharaj said they might have low self-esteem. We're trying to help them out a little bit because everyone uses them as the butt of all jokes. But it's kind of true. I mean, the braying is a little bit caustic. But still, he thinks this is very beautiful. Everyone's thinking like that. And becoming absorbed in that bodily conception that Prabhupada points out in the purport makes one an animal, a pashu, thinking that I'm this body. But if one can be jolted out of that somehow, either by circumstances or by steady cultivation of an understanding of one's existential situation. One may be able to isolate oneself from these false conceptions and really find that sincere, that drop of sincerity. It's so deep, one drop of sincerity. One, although it appears as a drop, one can really swim in it. It's such a powerful substance. And one can, in that state of mind, and that is to continue with Kunti's prayer, akinchana. Akinchana means something. And akinchana means I don't have anything. I'm helpless. And to call out to Krishna in that situation, I get some traction. There's immediate response. But it's interesting, the second thing I find really interesting in this verse, and rather startling every time I read it, is that Krishna's never inattentive. It's not that when I reach that state of sincerity and then I call out to Krishna, please help me, then he suddenly notices me. He's always there attentively trying to deliver me. It's my own attitude that's preventing me from actually appreciating that, having immense gratitude that Krishna's there trying to deliver me at every moment. And this point about Krishna never being lazy, it's rather touching, isn't it? Do you find it touching? That Krishna's he's so compassionate. As Gajendra is saying here, he's the essence of all mercy, the most merciful person, and he's always trying to deliver me. And then, because of my inattention to his mercy, I distract myself. And I also become full of fear. The Bhagavatam says, when I don't realize, when I don't swim in gratitude for Krishna's mercy, I don't realize that at every second he actually is with me, he's there within the heart, and he is giving me everything that I need, then I become full of fear. Payam dvitiya abhinibeshita syat. Just that, in that consciousness that I'm separate from Krishna, and that means not taking complete shelter of Krishna at every moment, then I become fearful about my situation and about the future. So this is such a important reminder that Krishna's there attentively trying to deliver me. And then this morning when I read this verse, I thought about how Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Siddhanta Bhulaya Chitana Kara Alash. This verse from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita says that one should not be, the practitioner shouldn't be lazy. Alash, don't be lazy. Kaviraj Goswami says, in discovering the truth about Krishna, Siddhanta Bhulaya Chitana Kara Alash. Don't be lazy in discussing Siddhanta to try to come to understand Krishna. So Krishna's there attentively trying to deliver me, and the acharyas recommend that I turn my full attention towards Krishna and try to understand him. And by doing that, I can see that Krishna's not far away. I'm not separated from Krishna by distance at all, only by consciousness. The moment that I amend my attitude and I feel helpless, akinchana, then I can experience Krishna's guidance and mercy coming from within the heart, coming from external sources as well, all around me. There's never any separation. Krishna's always mercifully trying to deliver me. So those are a couple of thoughts from this verse, and now we'll take some reflections. And to make a distinction, a reflection is not a question. A question has a question mark at the end and requires me to answer it. But a reflection means anything you heard, a concept, a word, a phrase that stuck in your mind that seemed helpful or meaningful to you that you can repeat back. Just so we can sort of get a composite of what we heard as a group. Because this is a kind of Sankirtan. We're in this together. I'm reading, speaking a few words, and then all of you are hearing. And then when you speak it back, it amplifies some of the meanings that are within the verse and the discussion. Is that clear? Everybody knows that a reflection doesn't have a question mark at the end? Okay, let's try it. Do we have a microphone we can pass around? Okay, so reflect. Just tell me one thing that you heard that's stuck in your mind. When you walk out of here today and someone grabs you by the arm saying, what was that guy talking about in there? What you'll tell him right behind you. There you go.
Prabhu, the reflection you inspired in hearing you speak on this verse is that we often hear how self-reflection and the opportunity for self-realization is the special opportunity of the human form of life. And yet, Krishna is so attentive and insistent on delivering us that even if somehow or other our karma is such that we are destined to take birth in animal form, still that opportunity remains with the impression that we have created by the repetition of prayers and the cultivation of devotion in the human form of life in which that opportunity was offered. And Krishna remains with us looking for opportunities to stir somehow, even in our animal life, this remembrance of him.
Are you a writer?
Yes.
You're very articulate, I could tell.
Thank
you very much.
Hare Krishna. I find it quite startling how you mentioned a point that Srila Prabhupada considered it in not an option but a possibility that some of his disciples or followers might take animal birth. But at the same time he was giving this option, as Prabhu was mentioning, that by reciting and memorizing these hymns and prayers there would be an opportunity for deliverance, and how it ties in with the tendency of the living entity, the conditioned living entity, to become lazy and procrastinate, to loiter, to hang around here in the material world, even sometimes as initiated devotees or practicing devotees. That tendency can become strong and one can become captured by material energy. But still there is hope, so I found that interesting.
What was the first point you made?
That Srila Prabhupada...
Yeah.
He mentioned
that
room that there
is
a possibility.
That just that Prabhupada was very scientific about the way... He was scientific. He spoke according to Shastra. I remember I attended a funeral for my grandmother in Detroit, Michigan. And she was a chef. And I went to the church that she attended, and the priest gave, during the ceremony, was saying, oh, she's in a better place right now. And I was wondering about whether she was or not, due to her occupation. She wasn't a vegetarian either. But he just sort of made a blanket statement that seemed to be not based on any real Shastra. It's just a sort of a sentiment. And notice that Prabhupada didn't do that. Even when he wrote the letter to Jayananda, when Jayananda passed away, he scientifically laid it out. He said, if you were remembering Krishna at the time when you left this body, then you went back to him. If not, then you went to the higher planetary systems and you'd live for some time, then come back down, take it up again. He didn't make impractical, imprecise statements based out of sentiment to make everyone feel better, which is reassuring because it's a science. Yeah, and also you brought up the point about, what was the second thing you said?
Laziness
and loitering in the material world. Oh, right. Yeah, because you had mentioned to me earlier about procrastination. Just there is a case for being lazy, but we call it, this is what we call it, applied procrastination. Because this could be a course in one of the major universities. What are you studying? What's your PhD in? Applied procrastination. So the way I was thinking about that, first I'll say that one of the devotees in our congregation is a very talented person. Her mother is also very talented, and her mother is an expert at growing orchids, beautiful flower orchid. And once her daughter, Jamuna, told me that her secret in growing orchids is tender, loving neglect. And then I was thinking about this tenth offense in chanting the holy name of the Lord, which is to maintain material attachments, very much related to this, the thread that we're in. Maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on the matter. And what to do about that. And then I thought about maintenance, because sometimes I get lazy about maintenance. If you get lazy about maintenance, what happens? Things fall apart. Like cleaning your house. What if you get lazy about that? Anyone? You got to work with me on this. What happens? Does it ever happen to anybody? Or just me? Like I get really busy sometimes, or all the time. And then, you know, my room that I live in, I start to notice that it's getting more dust and things are getting a little disarray. I try to keep up with it as much as possible. Then at some point I'm so overwhelmed with work that I just sort of, it just lets go. And then I notice that it's really a mess. And then it takes a Herculean effort to clean it up. Maintenance is hard. You really got to be on it all the time. That's why Lord Vishnu is in charge of maintenance of the material world. Anybody can create or destroy. Well, not everyone can create. It does take some empowerment, but destroying, that's pretty easy. But maintenance, that's difficult. Isn't it? I need full consensus.
Yes.
That helps. That's the setup for the point I'm about to make, and that is maintaining material desires takes a lot of work, just as maintaining your cleanliness takes a lot of work. So just don't do it. That's the solution. Just neglect it. If you, like me, in any situation in your life, know how to procrastinate, then apply that procrastination to material desires and just say, I just won't do anything about it. That helps. Okay, so now some more reflections. Yes, Prabhu. Here it comes.
Hari Prabhu. So more reflection which I felt is when we amend our attitude, then and when we have akinchan mentality, then we can see the gratefulness of Krishna.
When you amend your attitude. Prabhu, what does amend mean? What is the meaning? And where does it come from? What's the etymology?
To add on to.
Like when you amend the soil or something like that, you add some nutrients to it. Yeah, that's a really important point you made about amending your attitude. Because as Prabhupada mentions in the preface to the Nectar of Instruction, the advancement of a devotee depends on his or her attitude. Fortunately, it's something you can do something about. An attitude is something that's adjustable. And if you adjust your attitude in a certain way, sometimes our attitude gets adjusted for us by force of circumstances. How come you're laughing? Here, give him the mic. I want to hear what he's thinking. Why'd you smile?
No, I was just thinking like we can change attitude, but in an easy way. Like I was thinking on the other point, which was saying like just neglect the material desire that was running on my mind.
I see.
your attitude can be adjusted suddenly because of force of circumstances. We get sometimes what we call a teachable moment. In fact, Bhagavatam says one can go throughout one's entire life without ever having a deep introspective moment. It's altogether possible. In fact, even people that live together, you know, you can live in an ashram, pick any ashram, brahmacharya ashram, grihastha ashram, you can live with somebody else in the ashram, and you cannot have a meaningful conversation for a year, 5 years, 10 years, 40 years, 60 years. It's possible to just deal externally with everything and not come to the point of actually deeply talking to somebody else, revealing your mind and so forth. Does that sound remotely true or possible? Possible? Yeah. So Bhagavatam says that there's a way in which one moment of full consciousness, that could be full consciousness of one's dilemma here in the material world, one's complete need to take shelter of Krishna, that's such a rare opportunity that when one gets that and is able to take full advantage of it, it's the greatest gift, a teachable moment. Otherwise, one can miss the whole point of human life. What else? Reflections. Yes.
Lord Krishna in 9th chapter says Maya Adakshana Prakriti Suyate Sa Characharam, and in Brahma Samhita it is said Maya hi Daksha Sakani Shute Taregunya Tadvishay Vedavitaya Mana Sattva Avalambi Varasattva Vishuddha Sattvam Govinda Madhivashu. So Maya is very strong, material nature. So Krishna centric activities like chanting of the holy names and prasadam and everything that will do, like deity worship and everything, that will help us to get our ego out, false ego, and keep us centered in our real ego in the material world also, like, because after gaining the spiritual world, we get our, the real ego, means to surrender to the Supreme Lord. Here we are in the false ego, but while doing devotional service, can we get that ego that I am the devotee of the Lord, I am surrendered to the Supreme Lord in any circumstances.
Jeev Krishna Das Ebi Shwas Kole To Arduko Nai. If you just have that orientation that I'm a servant of Krishna, then you don't have any more dukkha in your life, which I understand comes from a word in Sanskrit that has to do with the way an axle fits into a wheel. And when it's out of alignment, there's vibration, there's heat, could even be fire. And when we align ourselves with that ego that I'm Krishna's servant instead of I'm the enjoyer, then I feel instantly relieved from the great burden of the false ego. Yes.
The word Bhuri Karunaya really touched me, because it reminded me of how Lord Krishna had appeared in many millennia before, and he appears in every millennia for delivering the conditioned souls. And in this age, he has come as Lord Chaitanya and with Lord Nityananda. And with the Bhuri Karuna is right here in this age. So,
yeah, one of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's called Vasudeva Amrita Prada. He delivered nectar to the leper Vasudeva. And in the story, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was visiting Kurukshetra. And there at Kurukshetra, he spent time with Kurma, the Brahmin, who was very enthusiastic about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was leaving, he wanted to go with him. Mahaprabhu told him, stay here and spread Krishna consciousness locally. And after Mahaprabhu left, their word got out that he had visited Kurukshetra, and a leper who was a pure devotee heard about him being there and immediately started to travel towards that place. And when he arrived, he found out that Mahaprabhu had already left. And being devastated, he fainted. And Mahaprabhu was already a long distance away and understood the plight of his devotee and came back to Kurukshetra, because he's there within everyone's heart. And he understood that this devotee needs me and has an intense desire to see me. So he came back and he embraced Vasudev. And Vasudev's body was healed, and he also became a very beautiful devotee. And he asked Mahaprabhu, "Now what will I do?" And Mahaprabhu told him to constantly chant Hare Krishna and to teach Krishna consciousness to others. And by doing that, he wouldn't fall into the illusion you were talking about, the power of the material nature. Which just reminds me another point I was thinking about during these reflections. Yesterday, we were in Pune, and 130 devotees. We started our first monthly Sankirtan festival. That means one day a month, all the devotees in the whole community, especially kids from age one or even younger, up to 15, Matajis and working people who live outside, everybody and the brahmacharis all come together on one day for a mass exodus, to all walk out the door at the same time to go out to distribute books and prasadam and the holy names around town. You can't have any more fun than that in life. So we did that yesterday. 130 devotees went out together from Pune, and we sent out 10 groups to various places around the city. And the devotees got such a revelation by approaching people and showing them Srila Prabhupada's books, relating to the Kurma Brahman, how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that you can stay in this consciousness of dependence on me by going and teaching Krishna consciousness to others. So these two things, he said, to cultivate this hearing and chanting and to go out and teach it to others. And there's a way in which Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Atmaupam yena sarvatra samam pashiti arjuna sukham va yariva dukham sa yogi paramo mataha. The yogi, the topmost yogi, is the yogi who has compassion for others. And we find when the devotees go out to distribute Krishna consciousness hand to hand, meeting people, that they start to develop this compassion, even if they don't have it. Like yesterday, one of our devotees, we had a session after everyone went out for 3-4 hours. We all met back, had prasadam, and then we shared what some of the experiences the devotees had were. One of the devotees had met somebody who was illiterate and then felt really bad that that person couldn't read Prabhupada's books. So he suggested that we start a literacy program and that people could learn to read by reading Prabhupada's books and so forth. And many such ideas came out from the churning of this Sankirtan activity, going out and meeting people and giving them books. And also this verse, Atmaupam yena sarvatra, means that you develop an understanding that these people are just like me. I'm in the same circumstance. The external feature that I may see, that the mind may accept or reject based on my own bodily conception of life, you can bypass that by teaching Krishna consciousness, going out into the world and doing that. Prabhupada mentions it in one of his letters, and I had included it in my book because I was talking about how important it is to go out into the world and meet people to teach them Krishna consciousness. And in the section, Prabhupada had said that imagine how bold Prabhupada was to leave India, the culture he was used to, and come into a completely new culture without any kind of connection here. And he said, practically wherever I go, I see that people are the same. They have the same needs and wants and desires, and they're in the same predicament. Everyone has a crocodile on their leg. That sort of evens things out a little bit. No matter what people think they are or what situation they think they're in, those who have this a transcendental knowledge can look at them and see, oh, I understand, you have a crocodile on your leg. And because of that, no matter what they say out of madness or misunderstanding their actual situation in this world, the devotee feels compassion towards them and wants to do something to try to help them. And also, it helps to see that beyond the external covering, people actually have this common nature, that they are searching for happiness and trying to get free from the distress of the material world. Yesterday, we met a lot of interesting people, some that really struck me. One was, I was talking to an older Muslim man, and he didn't speak English, so one of the devotees was helping translate for me as I was talking to him. And then a younger Muslim man who seemed afraid that I might be trying to introduce something that was not directly connected to the Quran to this person, came over to at first sort of politely intervene between me and this elderly gentleman. He was a young Muslim man. And we talked back and forth for some time. And during the talk, the translation was going on, and there was a lot of crosstalk. But the elderly Muslim man could understand the sincerity of purpose that we had in trying to present him something. And he also understood what his friend was trying to do. And in the middle of the conversation, the older man said, in his native language, he said, "No, I'll take it." He just said, "I'll take it." The younger man said, "What are you talking about? What do you mean?" You just said, "No, I want it. I'll take it." And he just asserted himself and said that he wanted it. And I'm quite certain he didn't even know exactly what it was, but he felt the sincerity of the purpose on our side, the devotees who were trying to present to him. And seeing things like that made us realize that wherever there is that sincerity of purpose, it can break through these external considerations, the coverings that people develop by thinking, "I am this body, I belong to a certain caste or creed," or something like that. Now we have 10 minutes left. Were you about to say something? Okay. So now we'll just take a couple of questions.
Hare Krishna. You were mentioning that there's a lot of cursing going on in the Bhagavatam, and I'm always a little puzzled about it because the sages are supposed to be on this Brahma Bhuta platform, self-satisfied. So why do they, or why do sometimes I have the tendency to get into this mentality? And what is the difference between non-mundane cursing or cursing that's actually beneficial? And do you consider it an option or an opportunity? Because sometimes people get closer to Krishna by curses, but sometimes not. So what is that?
Pradyumna was saying the other day, Prabhupada's disciple Pradyumna, was this the pundit? He was saying that all advancement comes from friction from the sadhus. And actually Prabhupada mentions how sadhus cut. They're the only ones who can. They're the ones who see what operation needs to be done, and they can cut. So it stands to reason that some cutting has to take place. And you see sometimes, I see floating across the internet, they have all these little images, sometimes people saving animals. They get tangled up in one of those plastic six-pack containers or something, some deer, and he can't get free, he's caught to a tree. Somebody comes over with a big knife and cuts him loose, and everyone, yay, you know, he freed the animal. So he had to cut something. So the cutting words of a sadhu have a different quality than the cutting words of a materialist. A materialist, Krishna says in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, has envy in his heart, and therefore when he speaks, it's like a spear that can actually wound another person, mortally wound them. But a devotee is different. In the commentary of the verse Evamvrata Swapriya Namakirtya Jatana Rago Jita Uchar. Madhvacharya says that there are many symptoms that pure devotees show externally, but some don't show any externally. They hold it back. But all sadhus show two qualities. One is steadiness in their service, and the other is called mukya prasadad, which means their speech is merciful. And because they're not envious, they have clean hearts. When they speak pointed words or cutting words, it's actually meant to free us from the material world. Whether we can do that or not depends on how empowered we are. Oftentimes, devotees might say, get angry at somebody, and then afterwards say, yeah, I was using that in Krishna's service. You can either use your anger or lose your anger, but from what I've seen, generally, it doesn't work that well in Kali Yuga. It should be very reserved. Most people need patience and tolerance and so forth. They learn more from that. And anger, if it's a really specific circumstance, and we're very sure that we're doing it for the right reason. For instance, have you ever received an email that annoyed you? Somebody wrote you an email that annoyed you. Who said yes? Did somebody say yes? Yes, thank you. Yes. I just want to make sure it's not just me. So every once in a while I get an email, it's like, wow, I oughta, you know, and then I realize in that state of I oughta, there's another energy hanging over me at that moment. And if I am foolhardy enough to actually write back at that time, at that moment when I'm feeling that, it always turns out wrong. I always get the opposite result that I was looking for. It escalates in the wrong way. I've learned that from Sankirtan, actually, over the years. And that is that there's a disproportionate reaction, especially when you're going out to preach, if you become angry at somebody unnecessarily. If you're frustrated or if I'm fruitive in the way I'm presenting, and because of that reason I offend somebody, the result is disproportionate. And so there's, as Sri Dayananda Maharaj likes to say, the entire cosmos is a sensitivity training program. Cosmic sensitivity training. And when one comes to this very measured way in which he or she interacts with other living entities based on compassion and cursing only when one's absolutely sure that it's not coming from envy or anger, then it can be effective. Imho, in my humble opinion. We have time for one more question. Yes. No.
Thank you. Prabhu, this isn't exactly a question. It's an amendment, which I hope you will use as a springboard. My definition of amendment was incomplete. I simply said it's adding something onto. But it's not just an addition. It's an addition to supply something that was missing. So, for example, in Ayurveda, we have this idea that we have a constitution, a particular constitution. If you were to amend your constitution, that means you are adding something that somehow was missing from your constitution that's essential, that should be there. And therefore, when we amend our consciousness, as Prabhu was saying, to add Krishna consciousness, then it's not supplemental or extra. It's something that is missing from our constitution, but it's actually supposed to be there, and therefore it is necessary to make this amendment. And I'm wondering if you can run with that.
Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunoi Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Kare Udoi. It's inherent. Love for Krishna is inherent when the soul are affinity for Krishna is there. Sanitya Nitya Sambandha Prakritischa Paraivasa from Brahma Samhita. We have an eternal kinship with the Lord. And all forms of incompleteness, Prabhupada writes in the Ishapanishad, are due to incomplete knowledge of the complete whole. So Krishna consciousness is a remedy to that. It's anavriti shabda, means by sound vibration we become uncovered, and the original our original situation is revealed, and that is that we're connected to Krishna eternally as his servants. This requires integrity. Integrity means a wholeness. And we are whole, but because I'm identifying with a temporary situation, I consider myself to be deficient. But those who are introspective enough and diligent enough to practice Krishna consciousness in such a way that they see their relationship with Krishna, they experience it, for instance, through intensive prayer in japa, begging Krishna with sincerity to please engage me in your service. They can see for themselves. And also, in relation to this verse today, where Gajendra is realizing the Lord's presence within his heart, the practice of Krishna consciousness requires integrity, means that, especially behind closed doors, how I conduct myself in relationship to Krishna. I think I wrote down something from a book or a poem that has to do with integrity. Maybe it connects to this point. This is I think this is from Charlotte Bronte. She wrote, "If all in the world hated you and believed you wicked, while your own conscious approval, if all in the world hated you and believed you wicked, while your own conscience approved of you and absolved you from guilt, you would not be without friends." There's a way that by feeling one's relationship with Krishna through one's sincere endeavor, even when nobody else is watching, one begins to discover one's complete relationship with Krishna and discovers one's integrity. And I like to call spiritual self-esteem when we actually realize that we have a relationship with Krishna and he's watching us at every moment. And however else I'm embarrassed by my so-called material situation, it's illusory. My real relationship is with Krishna. And also from the sixth chapter of the Gita, "For one who has conquered the mind, the supersoul is already reached, for he has achieved tranquility. To such a man, happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor are all the same." So there's a potential there to enter into that consciousness through our everyday practice of bhakti as we've been given, and feel complete satisfaction by knowing that Krishna is there within the heart. He's the witness of all our activities, and becoming inspired to work very hard to amend that relationship as much as possible. That's the supreme goal of life, and the best use of one's energy in the human form of life. Om Tat Sat. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Vaisheshika Prabhu. So, we have a small award ceremony for Bhakti Shastri graduates. Before that, I'd just like to introduce this book, Our Family Business. This is 45 years of experience in practicing and sharing Krishna consciousness by Vaisheshika Prabhu. The great art of distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, Our Family Business, is very inspiring, realizations and stories and the whole philosophy and practice of Krishna consciousness, I strongly wish that you would all get this book and read it. Prabhuji will sign them so you can get them right afterwards. It's a really captivating recount, many personal experiences and instructions that Prabhu received from Srila Prabhupada, and by studying and practicing Krishna consciousness with the devotees. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
By the way, it's not my book. I wrote it and I gave it to the BBT. You'll notice it's a BBT book. So I don't own the copyrights. I get nothing from it. I just wrote it because the senior devotees asked me to write it, and I felt that I needed the great austerity and punishment of trying to write something. So I did it, and I gave it away, and now I'm tolerating being around it. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, please. I'd like to say that I bought two of these books today morning, one for my son and one for me.